This episode is sponsored by Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime. So delicious, so unbelievable. No word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing. It's mouth-blowing. Yeah, you heard me. Bright, citrusy, and spicy. This newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. It was made for a woman like me, and I mean that. I would recommend enjoying Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime as an ice cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic like a spicy daiquiri. Here's a recipe. Thank me later. Pour 1 ounce of Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime into a cocktail shaker with ice, shake for a few seconds, and then pour into a shot glass rimmed with Tajine Chili Lime Sea Salt. Enjoy! Or keep your Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime bottle chilling in the fridge before serving ice-cold sweet heat shots. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime. Premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors. 35% alcohol per volume. Captain Morgan Rum Company. New York, New York.
Direct from the Broski Nation headquarters in Los Angeles, California, this is the Broski Report. With your host, Brittany Broski.
Good morning, guys, or whatever time of day it is that you are listening to this. Wherever you are in the world, wherever you are in the continental United States, wherever you are on any given island or region, we're happy to have you guys. Unfortunately, I have some negative news. It's good news for me, it's bad news for y'all. I acquired another prop. Okay, and this one, you're not going to like this one. Y'all are not going to like this one because I'm about to be real, real annoying with this. You're about to see this in some TikToks. You're about to see this in places that it shouldn't be. And that's going to be my FBI badge. That's going to be my FBI ID. Okay, don't look at it too hard because that's going to be a white man. Okay? The photo, the photar is going to be a white man. Don't look at it too. That's the bit in my head where I just flash the FBI badge and you can't really see it. Because on the bottom, this looks for real. Okay, Federal Bureau of Investigation, Department of Justice. And I'm not joking about that. Okay, Broski Nation FBI. The Federal Bureau of Investigation. Okay, but the FBI and Broski Nation, I feel like, is not what we know it as traditionally. It would be more so for, like, finding out some details on a guy, on someone you want to stalk, on, I don't know, maybe a celebrity. You know, things that, it's really crucial information. Do you remember in the One Direction days when it was like,
Harry Styles was born at this hospital at 4 p.m. and he weighed this much and he is an Aquarius?
That shit was nuts. I remember seeing that shit on Tumblr and thinking literally as a 15-year-old, like, how the fuck do y'all know that? How in God's name did you come to find this information? I'm not joking. There was, the internet opened up to me in a way that I think I'm still processing and I haven't fully healed or recovered from. On Tumblr, I still to this day am really deeply affected by Tumblr. I don't really think there's anywhere to turn. I will always sort of like I'm here physically, but mentally I'm on Tumblr.gov circa 2014. Okay. So one more time, just go ahead and peep that badge, because if I have some invasive questions, I'm going to need you guys to, you know, sort of respect the badge in that sort of capacity. I had this bit idea. I'm not going to do it where I just flash it at royal court guests, whoever the fuck we have on next. Me flashing my fake FBI badge at Charlie XCX. No. How do we feel about that bit, guys? I'm looking for bit feedback. Okay, and now can I transition to something kind of serious? Also, by the way, hey, welcome to the Broski Report. It's 8 a.m. I'm getting into this habit of, like, I film these super late because I procrastinate. I'm one Red Bull deep. It's hot as fuck in this room. Okay, I want you to imagine gooch sweat. I want you to imagine boob sweat. I want you to imagine a small trail of sweat marks and sweat droplets dripping down my back right now. Okay, and if you're not imagining that, I need you guys to lock in. Come on, one more time. I'll flash that badge. I'm gonna flash this badge. Don't look at it too deep. Badge, don't look at it too closely, okay? Here's something I've been kind of stressed out about in recent minutes and recent hours, you know, even is as long ago as 2 days ago. I got super high, okay, took an edible. I live in the beautiful state of California. I'm not from here originally, okay? So pardon me, if I want to partake and what God put on this green earth, which is sativa edibles, okay? A sativa edible that tastes like orange tangerine. How about this? How about in the damn weed stores out here? When I go visit the weed man out here, it's in a beautiful new build AC unit. Okay, it's the coldest building you've ever been in, and there are glass display cases of all the freaking weed buds, all the weed flowers. How nasty was that stink flower I talked about last week? That shit was gross. That shit made me gag. Anyway, some of y'all were like, this flower, I actually did a thesis on it. I don't care. I need to address the nation really quick, guys. I love you so, so, so much. But I feel the need to say this. Y'all are dorks. Y'all are freaking dweebs. Y'all are dorks. And I love it. Because personally me, I'm not a dork. I've never been a dork about anything. And if the editors or my social cut editor puts in some fuck-ass clip of me going into town? Surely that's not the phrase. Of me saddling up and riding into town on my lone horse. You guys are dorks. I love go through. One of my favorite pastimes, okay, is going through the comment section on the Broski Report YouTube videos. Because that's how I'm checking the pulse of what Broski Nation's doing. I'm going through the comment section and I'm thinking, God, they're a bunch of freaking nerds. Then consider the source. Consider the source, okay? Like attracts like. And if freaking nerds are commenting on my stuff, I may need to have a conversation with myself pretty soon. That I need to come out. I think I need to come out as a dweeb. Guys, imagine titling this video, I'm coming out. My coming out story. I'm just coming out as like a freaking nerd. Undiagnosed, I would even go as far as to say that the way that I like things is clinical at this point. And I don't think I've admitted that to myself just yet. It is slightly clinical. Oh, by the way, here's my pain and panic tattoo. I don't know if you can see this on the B cam, on camera two. I got pain and panic from Hercules tattooed. I talked about it, like 2 episodes ago? Yeah, that shit's peeling. That shit looks nasty as fuck. It's so good though. A lot of people were like, oh, you weren't kidding. Fuck you. Fuck you, bitches. I mean that. Oh, you weren't kidding. That's an interesting tattoo. Hey, how about lick on my little tiny, they're so tiny, my little balls. My balls are little chestnuts. They're really tiny and I need you to lick on them because I want Hercules tattoo and I got Hercules tattoo. We are worms. So Pain and Panic, if you haven't seen Hercules, the classic animated film Hercules from Disney, Hades, the god of the underworld, okay, who was banished to look over the underworld. He's like this real witty sort of, like, I just love Hades as a character. And he's got these two little stupid henchmen. Fucking stupid henchmen called Pain and Panic. And they're all blobs, like amorphous. Like, they're supposed to be scary, but they're really just stupid looking.
And they talk like this. And they go, we are worms.
And they transform into little worms. And they, like, bow to him. Hilarious. And there's a part later on in the movie where they're supposed to kill Hercules as a baby. Okay, Hades is like, kill Hercules. And Pain and Panic fuck it up. And so Hercules doesn't die. He just becomes mortal. And later on in the movie, he becomes like the girl. Like Hercules is that girl. Like everyone loves Hercules. He's a hero. He's a zero to hero. The soundtrack goes crazy, okay? That's the gospel truth. Oh my God, that opening sequence to Hercules is so... If you haven't seen Hercules recently, go watch it, dude. There's a scene later on in Hercules where he's all grown up. He's, you know, they've made him a hero, a man out of him. And he's sort of like the Clark Kent, Superman, whatever. They sell Hercules merch. And Pain and Panic show up in front of Hades for like a meeting or something. Dripped in Hercules merch. And it's so funny because they're drinking like a Hercules shake and one of them's got Hercules sandals on with the little wings. And I'm like, it's so funny. And there's this scene where Hades goes, you bought his merch? And so that's the tattoo I got because that's just hilarious to me, you know? And I just wanted to share it with y'all that made me really giggle. And so I got it on my body forever. I think it's also just funny, like, getting pain and panic tattooed on you. Like, yeah, girl, it's already in me. So, might as well get it tattooed. So cute. Oh, yeah, I was coming out as a dork. Okay, so here's the thing. I think I need to look in the mirror and realize that I am y'all. that like y'all are me and that I wouldn't want this podcast to be something that's like a tea channel or like brain rot in a negative way or any of those things. You know what I mean? Like y'all are dorks. Y'all are freaking nerds. And that's good with me. Like we're good. Like one of these. Okay. I just dabbed you up. That's tight. Because when y'all run up to me and you're like, did you see the new episode of, yeah, dude, I did. There have been so many times I'm literally in public and people are like, okay, House of the Dragon. Have you seen House of the Dragon? Because of course Aegon, when he was gets burned by the dragon. And I'm like, yes, but have you considered that Aemond is the king consort and he's ruthless and he's just wanting to be like Daemon. Like truly, it is such a, oh, that's going to make me emotional actually. The connection that's immediate when I meet some of y'all in person is really something special. I think it's real, real nice. And it's unlike any other sort of relationship I could feel. Like when I was in high school or even college, like the influencers, just gagged when I said that, the influencers that I liked or that I followed and that I kept up with, I never felt like this is enriching my life in like a academic sense. And I'm not saying that I'm an academic. I'm saying that like, I used to watch YouTubers that really brought me joy and like made me happy, but I don't think I really gained anything from that other than like a distraction from my life, which I do hope this podcast provides. However, I think it's fun to sort of share the things that spark an interest in learning. I've talked about this a bunch of times before. I love learning about things that organically come about that interest me. And the whole concept of like coming on here and Googling things and learning together is so fun to me. And I feel like after, because it gets sparked before I record the episode, I come on here, do the research. And then afterward, of course, like I love that thing. And so it's cool to come on here and just share my interests and then find a commonality where I can, some of y'all will come up to me on the street and like not even, it's real sweet when they don't even ask for a photo. You know what I mean? It's like, this is so weird to me because I didn't sign up to do this. The goal was not be famous. The goal was I'm going to post videos for my friends to laugh at. And then I built a community by accident. You know what I mean? And so from that, it's like when someone stops me on the street or like anywhere I go at a restaurant or if I'm walking or Disney or wherever, and it's like they don't want a picture. They just want to like share a kind word or you know, say that they watch the Broski Report with their friends. Like they're in college and they all share a dorm room and they all watch it when it comes out. Like they save it to watch it together. That's about to make me cry, actually. That's about to make me damn near tear up. Like that is so, I know that I talk about womanhood a lot. I talk about the sanctity of like woman friendships and how there's like a stark difference between the quality of like male friendships and then woman friendships. And it's because it's something to bond over in a real way and it's something to discuss. And I just feel very privileged in a lot of ways, but I feel very privileged specifically for being that medium of like connection for people. It's about to make me cry. It is really, really sweet. And so people come up and say that, or they come up and talk about something that I recently talked about on the podcast, it's like a friend that I've already known. You know what I mean? Like it's a very special, I didn't have a creator that sort of checked that box when, it's also a different landscape. You know what I mean? Like YouTube from 2010 to 2018 was more like the sensationalized content and like, look at actually how far I can push this. Actually, let's discuss this because it's so interesting to me. The like Jake Paul and Mr. Beastification of YouTube of like, just push it and push it and push it. And it's these crazy stunts and you're spending millions of dollars making these YouTube videos because they're earning you tens of millions of dollars. It's ridiculous. And I think that the public being fatigued of that sort of content, coupled with all of the major world events that we have lived through in the last 5 to 10 years, I think it's just been overwhelming for a lot of people. And so this return to, I want a relatable, normal fucking person to just like listen to just share. I want to hear about their life. I want to hear about a normal person's life. And celebrity culture and celebrity like worship has slowly been on the decline, and we see the rise of normal people. But this is a whole video essay thing, and I'm not even going to attempt to like give a hot take or do any of that bullshit because I haven't researched it, even though I'm kind of like a subject in this conversation. I'm going to leave that to an expert, but I do think it's strange how it's this cycle. It's this never-ending loop of like, we're done with celebrities. Let's get them out of here. Here's a normal person. I want to listen to them. Well, as you give them attention and acclaim and followers and money and sponsorships, they're going to become a celebrity. And then you lose them. You know, the argument is that like, they're not normal anymore. They're not relatable. And so they're done. Or they're problematic. Let's get rid of them. Here's a new one. The new Supreme keeps rising. And I just think that like, as someone who was accidentally wrapped up in that, you know, like, used to work a real job. Like, this was not ever on the radar of things that I wanted to do. I don't really have an answer. I don't really have an opinion on it. I just notice the cycle. And I think it's all about staying power. And it's about, like, I get up here and I just talk about what I want to talk about. I don't feel the need to rely on negativity to attract an audience. I think that's what I'm trying to say. In fact, I make it a concerted effort to only put out positive things into the universe. And I think that that is it's a very fruitful endeavor. I think it's a very lucrative thing for the soul. You know, if you have this intentionality of, I'm not going to speak negativity into the world. I'm trying to make people laugh. I'm trying to share things that bring me joy for an hour a week, you know, amongst all the other things that I do. This podcast is very special to me, and it's very special to the people that enjoy it. And so thank you for listening. I think that's really just what I wanted to say, if y'all even care. Shit. This episode is sponsored by Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime. So delicious, so unbelievable. No word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing. It's mouth-blowing. Yeah, you heard me. Bright, citrusy, and spicy. This newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. It was made for a woman like me, and I mean that. I would recommend enjoying Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime as an ice cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic like a spicy daiquiri. Here's a recipe. Thank me later. Pour 1 ounce of Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime into a cocktail shaker with ice, shake for a few seconds, and then pour into a shot glass rimmed with Tajin Chili Lime Sea Salt. Enjoy! Or keep your Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime bottle chilling in the fridge before serving ice-cold sweet heat shots. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime. Premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors. 35% alcohol per volume. Captain Morgan, Rum Company, New York, New York. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. Anyway, here's something I wanted to talk about. I got high as balls the other day, and I started having a freak out, and I made a TikTok about it because I don't want to be a firefighter. I don't want to be a firefighter. I'm literally so sorry. I'm not doing that shit. And I convinced myself because I got super high and I started thinking about firefighters. Actually, what triggered it? I don't remember. Oh, we were watching firefighter body cam footage on YouTube. That shit's just on YouTube. And I was like, what the fuck? Like actual body cam footage. And I was really high and I was laying on the couch and it was hot in the room. And I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. I was like, I can't be a firefighter. And who I was hanging out with, he was like, you don't have to. He was like, you don't have to be a firefighter. And I was like, yeah, you're saying that, but that doesn't make it true. Like, what if they called on me and I had to go in there? I don't know how the suits work. I don't know bullshit about that hose system. I probably can't even lift that hose by myself. Where does the water come from? Here was the main question I had. Okay, let's get into it. We're always talking about fire trucks. Well, actually, I don't know who we is. I don't know what I mean by always talking about. But we're talking about fire trucks and you know, you got to move over on the road for them and all this shit. If there's a burning building, if there's a car fire, wherever. Where the fuck is the water? And I'm about to answer this question because lo and behold, I found out. Okay? God is good, I found out. Because of Mark Zuckerberg's internet. Where does the water come from, right? I'm thinking they must have a reserve tank on the damn fire truck. But how does that work? Because you're going to put out a car fire? You're going to put out something like that with a reserve of water? There's no way. I mean, a fire truck's huge, but it's because it's carrying all the people, first of all, that big ass hose, and then all the equipment, the pumps. Because in my head, and all the I know there's going to be some damn firefighters in the damn comment section, like, actually, you know what? Fuck you, girl. But also, I'm going to read your comment because I'm interested. It doesn't matter what I talk about. There's somebody in the comments like, actually, I'm a botanist. And what you said about that flower is fucked up. Girl, it's so funny. It doesn't matter what I talk about. One time I talked about how I felt stupid because I didn't know that much about the Byzantine Empire. And someone commented, yeah, hi, a scholar here. I did my thesis on the Byzantine Empire. You're going to want to listen to this. I was like, girl, can you just, I appreciate it. But y'all are some nerds. Y'all are some freaking nerds. And that's fine. It's beautiful. Oh my God, it's just so beautiful. This dress does not fit. My boobs are pointing two different ways and they're like resting on the top of the thing. It makes me feel ugly. I feel ugly. Remember that tweet that was like, when I have oily hair, it makes me feel fat. It makes me feel fat when I have greasy ends, greasy roots. That's how I feel right now. When my boobs go two different ways. When the top doesn't fit my chest. Because here, let's be really candid for a second, okay? We're all girls here. Maybe. Except not. When I lost a bunch of weight, of course you lose it first, like, in your face and in, for me, my chest. It's just like skin now. That shit sucks. That shit's about to piss me off, actually. Because what the hell is that? I've just got skin bags. I don't want skin bags. And how? What do you mean I still have skin bags and they're still like, my back hurts? What do you mean I have a size D skin bags? That shit sucks. I used to be a double D and my back hurt all the time. And now I'm just like, they're not, okay, we'll move on. Anyway, firefighters. Firefighters, I think as well, they get a bad rep. Okay, they get a bad rep because they cheat on their wives. And if you're a firefighter, I support a firefighter's rights to cheat on their wives because that shit is so scary. That job is so scary. I support a firefighter's right to cheat on his wife. What? What? I didn't mean that. Obviously, I didn't mean that. But sometimes stuff just comes out. Stuff comes out of my mouth and it's like trying to put toothpaste back into a toothpaste tube. Okay. All right. I wanted to share this with y'all. Okay. Here's the thing. So we've established that fire trucks have a limited supply, have a limited reserve of water within the sort of structure of a fire truck. Okay. You have to hook up the fire hose to the building's water supply. And here's what I wanted to Google today. And this may be the most boring bullshit you've ever heard, or you might learn something. The water grid under a city, okay? How does it work? Where is it? Can I see it? Is it copper pipes? Are they plastic pipes? What does a water filtration system look like? Because in America, It's potable water, like from the tap. You can drink it. Well, in most places. Some cities have a higher like mineral count than others. Some is like less safe to drink than others. But like regardless, every city has a filtration process, right? Some of it may have arsenic and lead in it. Okay, so do tampons. We're all gonna die one day anyway. When that shit came out, dude, I literally was like, oh well. They made all those TikToks about, if you missed this on TikTok, it was like Tampax and all the Always, all these super famous tampon brands that like majority of American women use have lead and arsenic in them. What are you talking about, by the way? What? And they were like, use Lola, use cotton only tampons. What the fuck am I supposed to buy? Because even those have problems. Why do tampons have lead? Over 100 million cisgender women in over 120 countries use tampons during their menstrual cycle. Thanks for that stat. Most tampons are made from cotton or rayon, which both of which are made from plants that may be exposed to heavy metal contamination in the soil. That's fucking great. That's from Medical News Today. First study to measure toxic metals in tampons shows arsenic was higher in organic tampons. Lead concentrations were higher in non-organic tampons. What are we supposed to do? Like, I truly, if the water's not drinkable, if the tampons have lead in them, if the fucking American chickens are made of GMO plastic, the strawberries have red 40. Like, and then I'm going to the hospital, I'm going to the doctor, like, why is my hair falling out? Why is my hair falling out? Why are there cysts on my ovaries? And they're like, are you eating those red 40 strawberries again? Are you putting a red 40 arsenic tampons in yourself again? Okay. I think part of the struggle of being an adult in this fucking country is like, how do I take care of myself? Because you're telling me the things that take care of me that I can use to take care of myself don't, they're bad for me. I don't know how to go about that. You know what I mean? I can't do the freaking red 40 strawberry freaking red 40 Twizzler tampon. I can't do the Twizzler tampon because it's got plastic, freaking GMO plastic, arsenic, lead in it. Because it's got, because there's freaking, that's it. When I saw that TikTok, I was like, what else? What else, dude? It was 106 degrees here yesterday. Like the earth is dying. Hello.
Hello. Hello. The earth is on fire.
It's just ridiculous. Like I don't, it's so, okay, back to fire hydrants. Here's the thing. How does a water grid work? We're going to pull up a picture of a water grid. Los Angeles. Oh, water grid. Y'all going to learn something today. Because here's the thing. If I came up to you and asked you, where do you get your power from? Where does your water come from? And where does the gas in your house come from? Could you answer any of those questions? And for the dorks in the comments, shut up! I'm not talking to you! I'm talking to an average citizen, okay? Who the answer would be no. The goal of me asking that question was for y'all to say no. Because my answer is no. I don't know where any of that bullshit comes from, okay? And I would hope, in my heart of hearts, that the energy that I use to power my house is renewable. But the God honest truth, and I'm being very transparent when I say this, is I don't know. I don't know how that bullshit works. So let's figure it out. The Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. The water system supports the vitality and sustainability of Los Angeles. As Los Angeles has grown from a population of 142,000 in 1902 to approximately 4 million residents today, we continue to make efficient water use a way of life, providing reliable, high-quality, resilient water supplies now and in the future. Okay, don't care. Show me a photo. Sources of water supply. Here we go. Yes, I love a map. I love a fucking map. The Los Angeles... Oh my God, wait, I'm excited. Hold on, I had a Red Bull. The Los Angeles aqueducts, local groundwater, and supplemental water purchased from the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California are the primary sources of water supply for the city of Los Angeles. The water from the MWD is delivered through the Colorado River Aqueduct and the State Water Project's California Aqueduct. These three sources have historically delivered an adequate and reliable supply to serve the city's needs. Implementation of recycled water projects is progressing and is expected to fill a larger role in the LA water supply portfolio. Stormwater capture projects for groundwater recharge to improve groundwater reliability are also being developed. Despite the declining water supply due to environmental enhancements and impacts from climate change, the LADWP remains committed to creating sustainable... Okay, so we've got an aqueduct. We've got the Colorado River Aqueduct, stormwater capture, water recycling, groundwater, California State Water Project. Imported purchased water is crazy. What does that mean? This is all so intriguing to me. I really don't. Okay. Picture of a water grid. This is complicated. Aging electrical grid systems to drive smart water. Okay, this might be something I need to read about on my own, and then I'll come back on here and I'll let y'all know what I found out. Okay? Because, sorry, FBI, I need to ask you guys some questions. This is different from, like, when Texas had that major freeze, what, 2-3 years ago? It froze the water supply underneath, and it froze the electrical grid. And when it gets too hot, it fucking fries the electrical grid. Like, people die. Because these systems have not been updated, and all that tax money is not going to the infrastructure of, like, I'm from Texas, and I love Texas, but, like, that state's fucked up. It is a fucked up place. And that was the most shocking, because I was here for the Texas freeze. My friends were without water for, like, 2 weeks. Without water. A boil water advisory. How do you boil water if you don't have power? And if water doesn't come out of the tap, like, truly, what are we talking about? Like, what are we talking about? That is so scary. If you don't have clean water, like, it's, anyway, I need to figure out how this shit works because it's very intriguing to me. All that to say, okay, firefighters, we'll go back to firefighters. Firefighters go to a building and they hook up to the supply. Okay. Then that big ass hose, like, it just feels so, like, are we in 1870? Like a horse-drawn carriage that's a fire hydrant that's like, hold on, old-timey fire truck. Okay, this is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, old-timey, like 1800s. 1800s fire truck. Yo, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. The history of fire engines. Not beating the autism allegations with this one, team. Not beating that shit today. The history of fire engines. And you bet your sweet fucking ass I'm clicking on this link. You bet your ass I'm clicking on this link right now. Let's get into it. The history of fire engines, from primitive pumps to advanced technology. Hell yeah. This episode is sponsored by Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime. So delicious, so unbelievable. No word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing. It's mouth-blowing. Yeah, you heard me. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. It was made for a woman like me, and I mean that. I would recommend enjoying Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic like a spicy daiquiri. Here's a recipe. Thank me later. Pour 1 ounce of Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime into a cocktail shaker with ice, shake for a few seconds, and then pour into a shot glass rimmed with Tajin Chili Lime Sea Salt. Enjoy! Or keep your Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime bottle chilling in the fridge before serving ice-cold sweet heat shots. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime. Premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors. 35% alcohol per volume. Captain Morgan Rum Company. New York, New York. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. This episode is sponsored by Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime. So delicious, so unbelievable. No word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing. It's mouth-blowing. Yeah, you heard me. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. It was made for a woman like me, and I mean that. I would recommend enjoying Captain Morgan's sweet chili lime as an ice cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic like a spicy daiquiri. Here's a recipe. Thank me later. Pour 1 ounce of Captain Morgan sweet chili lime into a cocktail shaker with ice, shake for a few seconds, and then pour into a shot glass rimmed with Tajin chili lime sea salt. Enjoy! Or keep your Captain Morgan sweet chili lime bottle chilling in the fridge before serving ice cold sweet heat shots. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan sweet chili lime. Premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors. 35% alcohol per volume. Captain Morgan Rum Company, New York, New York. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. Early 1700s, first patented fire engine designs. Look at that. It's just four wheels. Early prototypes of the fire engine were designed in England to move water from one place to another. Once the need for firefighters became apparent, they would discharge the tanks with pumps to generate the pressure needed to reach the blazing infrastructure. In 1721, Richard Newsham, an English inventor, recognized an opportunity. Newsham filed two patents that would allow him to create and control the market of fire engines during the mid-1700s in England. Newsham's apparatus design consisted of a wooden chassis. Okay. Chassis. Definition. The base frame of a motor vehicle. God, we just learned so much on here. Okay, yeah. If y'all ever played with Hot Wheels or any of those cars, when you would rip off the top, this is what's under it. It's just like the little metal skeleton connected to the four rubber tires. That's kind of what it is. Would y'all ever do that to your Hot Wheels? I would rip off the top. Then I would just play with the little... No? Okay. So it was a wooden chassis constructed with a long and narrow frame that could easily be maneuvered. Newsham's engine encompassed a large lever that required the efforts of two men. Men will do anything to spend time together, except have a meaningful conversation. They'll do anything. They'll wrestle each other. They'll fight each other because they want to touch. They want to hug. Okay? Men would rather build the chassis of a 1700s era fire engine then go to therapy. And I believe that. Two firefighters would then begin pumping by standing with 1 foot on each side of the pump, throwing their weight upon each treadle alternately. While the crew members were pumping, a leather hose was attached to the top of the apparatus that another set of firefighters directed the jet of water at the fire. Well, that seems real primitive. You know what I mean? And maybe I said primitive because that's the title of the article. So let's keep going. Mobile fire engines. Mobile fire engines. Ermagerd Eiler fire trucks. Ermagerd fire trucks. Horse-drawn to combustion engine-powered apparatus. It's hot as fuck in this room. I'm going to keep it really real with you guys. As America moved into the industrial age, larger cities such as Boston, New York, Baltimore, and San Francisco saw technological changes that impacted the way apparatus were being manufactured. Also, here's the thing. When was that big Chicago fire? Where are my Chicago people at? Chicago fire year. 1871. Okay, now here's the thing. Fire engines were a thing by this point because the fire truck, the concept of like the average person having a vehicle, having a personal vehicle, I feel like the technology was being used in a public way in like the 1890s, 1880s, and turn of the century In the 20s, 30s, it became like a rich person thing, like a rich person would have. That was some of the first like luxury cars. And then it became more of a thing in the 40s, 50s, right? That like the average American family has a car. And of course, I'm always speaking through the lens of Americans because I don't know bullshit about other countries. That makes me feel real stupid, okay? Oh my God. And before I say this, just recognize that, okay, I recognize that I lack, first of all, personal firsthand knowledge of this. And on top of that, I'm sort of just culturally blind to this country's history as well, in a very broad sense, okay? I take Spanish lessons from my friend Maddie, okay? She teaches me Spanish. We practice. Because I know Spanish, but we just practice it. And in practicing it, it's important to me to, because Spanish is such it's a global language, first of all, because of the colonizers, right? It's a global language, and from colonization, so many different types of Spanish are spoken, and each has its own quirks and mannerisms and history that influences why that accent exists, why that dialect exists. Okay, I'm preaching to the choir. In Cuba, obviously Cuba has a long and tumultuous history with America. Or rather, America has a long and tumultuous history with Cuba because we fucked that bitch up. The cars in Cuba are all from like the 50s, 60s. And we're going to Google that right now. And when you see these pictures of like Havana or any of the city views, you know, like the street views where it's all these colorful buildings and the cars are from the 50s and it's almost like a blast from the past. Obviously, it's so not I honestly don't really know how to speak about it because it's like the negative effects of communism and American intervention in foreign affairs. Anyway, I'm not the one to talk about this. Okay, Cuba. Why does Cuba have so many classic cars? This is from LaFontaineClassicCars.com. When you think of Cuba, what comes to mind? Beautiful beaches, vibrant culture, and classic cars. Cuba is famous for its abundance of vintage automobiles, and there's a fascinating reason behind it. While many countries have moved on to sleek and modern vehicles, Cuba remains stuck in time with its iconic collection of classic cars. These vintage beauties have become a symbol of the country's unique charm and resilience, attracting tourists from all over the world. We can tell you all about the classic cars in Cuba, but have you ever wondered why Cuba has managed to preserve so many classic cars? The answer lies in the country's complex history, economic limitations, and resourcefulness. After the Cuban Revolution in 1959, okay, guys, lock in. Seriously, guys, if you're not listening, it's time to start listening. We're going to learn something. Because I know a little bit about this, but it's not enough to teach it. So we're going to learn from LaFontaine Automotive Classic Cars. Here we go. After the Cuban Revolution in 1959, Cuba instilled their new leader, Fidel Castro. While having been one of Cuba's most infamous leaders in recent history, this quickly led the U.S. to no longer see Cuba as an ally. As a result, the U.S. implemented a global import embargo. The implementation of that embargo meant that Cuba, as a nation, could no longer import any goods from the U.S. Household products suddenly became scarce, and the automotive industry came to a screeching halt nearly overnight. After the embargo was instated, any American products or goods already in the country would be the last of its kind. Even then, the Cuban people knew they needed to do what they could with whatever they had on hand. As the years waned from the embargo, the Cuban people showed a deep appreciation for the classic American vehicles they had left over for a different era. As means of transportation, they also served to remind people of a different time in history. Like most other vehicles, they needed repair eventually, but without a supply of parts available, this is where creativity took form. With little to no trade happening on a global scale, citizens turned to what was around them to keep cars running. Using wires from broken electrical devices, retrofitting parts from washing machines, and even reports of rebuilt carburetors using coffee filters. The population did what they could to keep these vehicles running into the 21st century. That's nuts. That's nuts to me. So it's because of the trade embargo. Oh, America. Anyway, why did I bring that up? Why the fuck was I talking about Cuba, dude? It all goes back to Cuba. Oh, that's what I was talking about, the fucking cars. When cars became like a staple of like the nuclear American family has like a car. Oh, here, that's what I was going to Google. When did fire trucks... when did fire trucks become cars? When did fire trucks... Hold on. What am I trying to figure out right now? When did fire trucks become fire engines? When were fire engines invented? Shit, we got there. When were fire engines invented? Shit. Okay, here we go. Oh, yes, dudes. Yes. Here is an AI overview of the history of fire engines. Okay, guys, because I know you care a lot. 1700s, horse-drawn carriages called hook and ladders were used to transport ladders and hooks to fires. 1829, some dude named John, shout out John, built the first practical steam fire engine. 1868, Daniel D. Hayes invented the first aerial truck. What do you mean by that? A brief history of fire trucks. Sometimes, I look beautiful, okay? I look so beautiful right now, but sometimes I look in the viewfinder and I see an autistic little boy. And I think that that is something that we need to come back to later. We really need to come back to that at a later date because I don't really have any commentary on that as of right now. As of right now, I don't really have much to say about that other than that's an inherent truth that, like, you know, I'm going to come on this podcast that reaches millions of people and talk about the history of fire trucks because it interests me this week. You bet your fucking ass I am. So let's get back to it. Okay, here we go. 1885. Schuyler Wheeler received a patent for the first electric fire engine system in the United States. 1885, electric fire engine system. Early 1900s, motorized pumpers replaced steam-powered pumpers. No way, steam-powered. Oh my God, I just touched my Funko Pop. Steam-powered engine. How does it work? I need to have my dad on this podcast to explain some of this stuff to me. A steam engine uses steam to perform mechanical work and is based on the laws of thermodynamics, which clearly I could explain to you guys, but, you know, I don't want to bore you. I need to charge for that. Okay? You want me to explain thermodynamics? You're going to have to run up a check. How a steam locomotive works. Yeah, I'm opening this in a new tab and watching it at a later date. I will be watching this later today. How does a fire engine work? Uses the force produced by steam to push a piston back and forth. That sounds gay. You're pushing a piston back and forth inside a cylinder. That sounds gay. I don't want to know about the gay freaking locomotive engine, bro. I don't want to know about the gay express. We're not doing Pride Month right now. 1905, Knox Automobile in Springfield, Massachusetts, invented the first modern fire engine. Shout out to Springfield, Massachusetts, and why are there so many Springfields across the United States? See, you guys don't give a fuck about these serious questions that I'm asking, okay? Why are the cars in Cuba all from the 50s? Why are there so many Springfields in the United States? How the fuck does a water grid work? What is a fire engine? At its core, what does it do? Is it just a hose? What's today? Well, thank God it's celebrating S'mores Day here on Google.com. Oh, that's just adorable. Look at this little animation. Oh my God, it's a little teddy bear making a... Oh, how cute is that? That's just adorable. Okay, here we go. Oh, dude, what was I about to Google? Why are there so many Springfields in America? The Simpsons. There are many places named Springfield in the United States because many of them are named after Springfield, Massachusetts, which was a major manufacturing center in the early years of the country. Did y'all know that? Where are my Springfield, Massachusetts people? Where the hell are my Massachusettsites? Is that what y'all are called? People, my Massachusettsians, Massachusettsers, Massachusetts. People from Massachusetts, crazy name by the way, are called Massachusettsians. This is not a real place. Holy shit, this is not a real place. Massachusettsans. Oh my God, Jack Skellington. I freaking knocked over Jack Skellington. My Funko Pop! No, my Funko Pop fell on the floor. Hey, give me back my Funko Pop! I'm 27. And freaking Jack Skellington won't fit on his platform, on his stand. This shit is so cheap, bro. Do you know how expensive Funko Pops are? This shit doesn't even freaking work, and his head comes off. Shit. Okay, Jack Skellington is back on his platform, and we're placing him right here. He's actually going to block me because this is Halloween. This is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween. La, 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 la. Okay. Oh my God, did y'all see the Lego set that dropped? That's freaking Nightmare Before Christmas. Have y'all seen this? Nightmare Before Christmas Lego. Dude. It's 200 buckaroos. Stop. Look at this. Stop. Oh my God. One thing about me is I'm going to get absolutely pissed the fuck off at a fucking ad block pop up. I have an ad block. Why are shits popping up? Why do I get pop ups? I have a pop up blocker. That's actually going to piss me the fuck off. I hate that shit. I hate shit like that. It's such a small inconvenience where I'm like, I'm trying to do something. I get so mad.
This episode is sponsored by Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime. So delicious, so unbelievable. No word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing. It's mouth-blowing. Yeah, you heard me. Bright, citrusy, and spicy. This newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. It was made for a woman like me, and I mean that. I would recommend enjoying Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime as an ice cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic like a spicy daiquiri. Here's a recipe. Thank me later. Pour 1 ounce of Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime into a cocktail shaker with ice, shake for a few seconds, and then pour into a shot glass rimmed with Tajin Chili Lime Sea Salt. Enjoy! Or keep your Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime bottle chilling in the fridge before serving ice-cold sweet heat shots. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime. Premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors. 35% alcohol per volume. Captain Morgan, Rum Company, New York, New York.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Okay, here we go. Here's the town square where that is the mayor's thing. And by the way, the mayor scared the fuck out of me as a kid. And you know who scared the fuck out of me even more? Are those three little demon kids. Oh my God, the three kids from Nightmare Before Christmas. They are so scary to me. Oh my God, I hate it. Lock, Shock, and Barrel. They serve Oogie Boogie with delight, although out of fear of him. And just like that, we've made it to disney.fandom.com/wiki. Just like that, we're back on fandom.com/wiki. Yeah, fuck these kids. Fuck these scary ass kids. They ruin Christmas. I feel like I need to spend an exuberant, filled with or characterized by a lively energy and excitement, filled, growing luxuriantly, of vegetation, rich and profuse in growth, lush. Wow. Okay, exuberant.
Exuberant.
Exuberant. filled with or characterized by a lively energy and excitement. Okay, then maybe that's not what I meant. I'm going to exorbitant. 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 Damn. Shit. Exorbitant.
Exorbitant.
I didn't know there was a difference between those two words. I'm going to keep it really 100 with you guys. I had no fucking clue those were two different words. But I knew it in my mind's eye. I knew it in the back of the chasm of my brain. My brain is just an empty, my skull has cobwebs inside of it, and it's just this small, little gooey, like shriveled brain. It's like, because of all the red 40, it's dyed red completely. It's completely red. My brain is red and shriveled like a raisin. And it's got mosquito bites on it. Exorbitant. Okay, exorbitant and exuberant. Those are actually going to be two different words. Y'all learned something new today. Exorbitant, of a price or amount charged, unreasonably high. So here's what I was about to say. Here's the correct English phrase that I was about to say. I'm prepared to spend an exorbitant amount of U.S. dollars on this Lego set right here. And I don't even fuck with Legos like that. I don't do Legos. You know what I mean? I love to see a completed Lego set. Like, that's the thing is, I don't really find the process of it relaxing or, you know, whatever. But when it's all completed, you bet your sweet ass I'm displaying that on my shelf. Yeah, dude. I was just in New York and they sell those, or I guess they used to sell those Empire State Building Lego sets. They don't sell them anymore. Because here's the thing, I don't want to buy the Empire State Building with the Chrysler Building, with the this, with the that. I don't want to see that bullshit. I just want the Empire State Building with the little clock on it, okay? They didn't sell it. They did not sell it. I'm pissed off. So, I'm prepared to spend an exorbitant amount of U.S. dollars on this here Lego set because I think that this is one where I would actually, you know, I would build it. I would build it and I would display it. But here's the thing. When it's not Halloween, you can't keep this shit up. You can't be a Nightmare Before Christmas adult. Don't look at Jack Skellington on my desk. You can't be a Nightmare Before Christmas adult because I just feel like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, we get it. We get it. You're edgy. We get it. You're goth. Okay. Anyway, I will probably be buying this because this shit goes hard. And also, I don't really want, like, this part, the city. I want the, yo, that's cool. I want the little thing. Yeah, this, with Jack and Sally on the big hill with the graveyard below it. How cute is that with Zero? It's so adorable. It's so adorable. That's what I would want. It's real, real sweet. If they sold just that, I would buy that and I would build it. I've never understood those channels that are like, build Legos with me. I don't want to watch you build a Lego, dude. I want to see the finished thing.
La, 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 la.
Okay, back to fire engines. Here's the thing. We didn't learn a damn thing about fire engines today, I don't think. None of this was useful. The fire engine as we know it today came about from 1960, around 1960. Okay. And then the model's just been updated since then. So, okay. Well, I feel like we learned close to nothing today. And I'm happy to share that with you guys. I love y'all. And we'll see you next week for real. We'll see you next week for real. And other than fire trucks, let me know if there's anything that we really need to dive into. Okay, well, I'm calling on the nerds. I kind of shit on y'all this episode. I'm sorry about that. I'm calling on the nerds. If I like fire trucks, if I'm trying to get into fire trucks, what else do you think that I might like? Go ahead and suggest me some things right there. We didn't even get into fire hydrants either. Fire hydrants go crazy. That shit's nuts because it's connected to the water grid, okay, and it's pressurized. And then you need a wrench to turn it on. Again, I don't want to be a firefighter. I'm not going to be a firefighter. But it's important that I know this stuff in case I'm ever called upon. That's the message. Y'all need to know this stuff in case you're ever called upon to be a volunteer firefighter, okay? If you're drafted to be a firefighter, you have got to know what you're doing. Okay, if you guys want Broski Report merch, seriously, just go to broski.shop. I got that shit on lock for you guys. Register to vote at headcount.org. Go do that. And I'll see you guys next week. I love you for real. Bye.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.